Father, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing. Thank you, Father. All glory, honor, and adoration to your name. In Jesus' name of worship. Amen. Let somebody or two people feel welcome. You know, let someone feel welcome. Mashakobaya. Praise God. Happy to see everyone in church today. We thank God for church. If you have a notepad, you can use your notepad today. If you have one, so that you can jot things down. Jot things down. I have some word of wisdom. Praise God. I want to talk about how to grow your church. How to do what? How to grow your church. Or should I talk about how to grow your business? It's the same thing. You know, we had a leaders meeting some weeks ago. We had a leaders meeting some weeks ago, and you know, I invited one of my friends who's a businessman. You know, because I wanted him to help us with some things around physical branding, like branding a place physically. So I just wanted him to be in the meeting with the leaders. And then when we're done with that meeting, praise God. So when we're done with that meeting, he told me, he was asking me if we have a company. When we're done with presentations, he said, do you guys have a company? He said, because I want you guys to come and consult for me. And he was not joking. In fact, eventually we had to send one of our guys to have a meeting with him, because he wanted us to help him out with some of his businesses. And I'm sure very soon they are coming up with some work that they need to do. The wisdom of God, you know, is applicable. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. The wisdom of God is applicable. Praise God. Is applicable. The wisdom of God is applicable. You know, is applicable for all things. Is applicable for all things. So this morning we'll be talking about how to grow your church. Amen. How to grow your church. Praise God. And then I will just be mentioning some things. You know, the house of God is the highest level of engagement. The house of God is the highest level of what? Of engagement. Is the highest. Like you would not engage a thing, you see, that is greater and of more value than the house of God. You will not have the opportunity to engage anything bigger and greater than God's house. You wouldn't. The reason you wouldn't is because there is absolutely nothing that exists, you see, that is what? Bigger, greater, and of more value than God's house. You see, so, you see, when you are trusting God for maybe some type of greatness, and maybe to relate with the great people of the world, and to relate with the great activities on earth, I need you to understand that the greatest of them all, you are already relating with it. You see, the house of God is the greatest place, the greatest thing you can ever do in life. There is nothing greater than the house of God. In fact, the prophecy of Isaiah talks about how all other mountains, it's like they are going to collapse into the house of God. The prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, give me that prophecy, where it talks about how every, you see, the nations will flow in. Do you understand that? It's like, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Where? On the top of the mountains. Do you understand that? It's like, it's the biggest mountain ever. It's the biggest place. There is no other place that has, you see, the only thing, that we can say is maybe bigger than God's house is maybe if you say God himself. But you see, God himself is a part of the house of God. There will be no bigger place. Like you would not have the opportunity to meet a bigger person. And you will never sit on a board that is discussing a more important issue. You will never sit on a board that is discussing something more important. The discussions going on in God's house are the greatest discussions in life. Like, it's as though you are already experiencing the greatest privilege you would ever have. Already. You see, that's why whenever you are in doubt of your greatness, it's because you do not really understand how great, you see, and the great things God has already allowed you to partake of. The house of God is the greatest thing. The only conversation that will continue after the heavens and the earth has passed away are the conversations we're having here. And the dream of God for everybody, kings and great people, is God's dream for them is not to promote them. Like, it's not, his dream for them is not to give them a bigger business. Like, God's dream for everyone is to give them what you already have. I'm saying, like, if you check God's heart and check God's, what's God's plan for Mark Zuckerberg, is to make him have Christ like Indy Freaky. Like the prophecy of God over the greatest of men, you're already living it out. You see, when you really understand what I'm saying, the way I am saying it, you will know that there can never be a thing that will be given to you that will be like a bigger thing. And so that way, you can't be in doubt of the future. Because if I already have this, you know, that's how the Bible, you know, the Bible says that, how will he not freely give us all things. And the basis of that, it says, the reason why you should understand this is because he did not spare his son. Like, if you have this son, then what can be bigger? No, it's not just you have everything. It's like, if you have this son, what will now be a bigger thing? I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. How he who did not spare his son, like if he gave you son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Like you should not doubt he will give you all things if he has given you the greatest thing. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. So you're already experiencing your greatest days. I tell you, but the challenge is that you are not really aware of it. So you are still waiting for God to give you something that will make you happy. Because you don't even know, praise God, what the value of what he has given you. You see, what he has given you is of great value. Huh? It's of what? It's of great value. Now, do you know that when you woke up this morning and you long to be in church, like you desired it, and then you were rushing to get to church. How many of you felt that way? Yeah, you were like rushing to come to church. Now, do you know that a lot of people don't have that knowledge in their hearts? Like, what you are doing is alien to a lot of people. Now, the reason why it's alien to them is because they don't have what you have. Do you understand? What I'm saying is, they don't have the privilege of feeling how you are feeling. They don't have the privilege. Is it like what I'm saying is that how you are feeling, not everybody is feeling that way. How you are feeling is not a decision. It's like a reality inside. It's not like you decided to feel like this. Meaning that there is something God has put in you that not everybody has. And it's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. So when we are discussing the house of God, how to grow the house of God, because we must know how to grow it. We must know how to let it grow. We must know how not to stifle it. You see? So that there can be an increase in what the Lord is doing. Huh? There can be what? An increase. So that more people can have him. And we also can have more of him. Do you get? More people will have him. And then we also will have what? More of him. More people will have him. You know, the level of freedom that Christ has given us, you can't even explain it. You know, sometimes I'm meant to counsel people who are not saved. And I tell you, it's one of the toughest things ever to do. Because you know that what I'm telling this person does not have the ability to do it. Because you see, it's like telling a fish to back. Many of you have seen a backing fish. Have you seen one? A backing fish. Like I pity them. Because
It's almost as if the solution to all problems is to tell them to give your life to Christ. It's like that's the solution to all problems. Because by the time you keep hearing the stories, you just know, it's because you are not born again. Because if you were born again, you wouldn't even be in this place at all. Now, it's not like this. The child of God doesn't have challenges. We have many tribulations. You see, but we are never in darkness. We are what? We are never in darkness. Do you understand it? If you really understood what church is, and it really dawned on you, you would know that you are already like having the greatest days of your life. Huh? Can you take my volume up a little bit? You're already having what? You're already having the greatest days of your life. And it's amazing because it will be eternal. Like there wouldn't be a stop to it. See, I have, one of the things that I have is that is evident in my life is the joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? I carry the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's evident in my life. Even when I'm sorrowful, you see, I still manifest joy of the Holy Spirit. I carry the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, this joy of the Holy Spirit that I carry has been manifest in my life since I was a teenager. I've always had the joy of the Spirit. I've always been the happiest person. What I'm saying is, your salvation is enough solution to all your problems. If you have concluded life in salvation. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. The challenge that a lot of us have not concluded life inside salvation. Like we kind of have a life that is outside salvation. And there's a lot of problems in that life. So you see, you ship in the sorrow of that life. You ship it like delivery. You know, you ship it into your experience with Jesus. So you are full of unnecessary sorrow. You know, the Bible talks about in that day, it says, woe to that woman that has many, many sucklings. Do you understand that? What he's saying is that who is encumbered, you see, with earthly issues. The way Paul put it to Timothy is that you should endure hardship. No, the real word I want to say is do not entangle yourself with civilian affairs. Like, you know, what Paul calls civilian affair is what you usually call your life. And what Paul calls civilian affair, you see, is what you are calling your dream, your purpose. So a lot of you are anchored in civilian affairs, entangled and anchored. So civilian affairs becomes the premise upon which your joy and happiness is measured. So you see, you are unnecessarily sorrowful. You see, and then your excitement is also deceptive because it can be tampered with. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in what? In civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Are you together with me? So you see, when we talk growth of the church, you see, I'm talking beyond physically. Because I will talk physically. But the spirit of what I'm saying is that when you understand the value of it, I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. When you understand what? The value, the importance of it. You see, the church of God is not an aspect of our life. It's not what? It's not an aspect of our life. It is where life springs from. Are we together here? I was speaking to someone who was telling me yesterday, he said during the prayers, when the glory of God filled the room, he said they began to talk to God about his ministry. And God was speaking to him about his ministry. You see, he will not have that encounter in any other place. Do you understand that? He will have it in the church. Huh? He will have it when believers gather. Like, there would not be a solution for you outside the presence of God. Am I not correct? So we need to know. So it means that, you know, Paul was speaking and he said that the reason, it was telling Timothy, he said, the reason I'm writing this letter to you is the reason is so that people might know, you see, how to conduct themselves in the house of the Lord. And this house of the Lord is the ground and the pillar of truth. Huh? It says so that people might know how to conduct themselves. Praise God. Because the church is the ground and what? And the pillar of truth. So that's like what I'm teaching this morning. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. You see, because the house of God, which is the word church of the living God. So, I don't know, can you tell me, where is your house, your own house? Yes. Where? Magodo. That's his house. His house is Magodo. I will not tell you the full address. Where's your own house also? Magodo. Praise God. Where's your house? Ishaga. Now, when God was going to tell us his own address, he says, my house is the church of the living God. Says my house is the church of the living God. So you see, it's like saying that if you want to come to my house, you don't really have to go to heaven. So it's like, you don't have to really go to heaven. Like, you need to, if you go to the church, you will meet me there. So he says that, Paul, who's an apostle now, says, I need to write a letter. So that people have to be careful because that church is God's house. So they need to know how to behave in that house. Eh? Because that house, when you check the ground, the name of the tiles, is what? It's truth. And the pillars also. What's the name of the pillars? It's truth also. Praise God. Are my friends here? The name of the ground is what is truth. Like, are you seeing that the name is not your name, it's not your surname, it's not your father's surname. It's truth, and then the name, you see, of the ground, and the pillars It's not your feelings. Eh? It's not your emotions. Like, the church does not stand on your feelings. That's why they need to do it like a type of letter. So that you can use that letter to replace your feelings. I don't know if you are getting it. Because that letter, what is in those letters is the heart of God. So the church rests on God's heart. Not on, so you don't, so the house of God is not about you. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. Like, it's not coming to please you, but it's rather making you to please God. Like, it's not pleasing you. It's rather making you please God. So the house of God is not adjusting to your peculiarity, but your peculiarity is receiving healing. You see? And it's been adjusted, you see, to be truth. I don't even get what I'm talking about. It's like you that came, we do not trust you to be truth. Like, truth had been before you came. So the house of God will now, like, change you. Eh? You know why? Because it's not your real house, and before was hellfire. Do you know that's where all of us came from? All of us had different apartments. 2-bedroom, 1-bedroom, you know, in hell. Some mansion. Some have an estate. But he's saying that when you are now coming, you get what I'm talking about? So the church of God, you can't come with any of the things you came from hell with. You see, the Bible talks about how we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Then there's some type of transfer to the kingdom of the Son of His love. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. Like you were transferred. Meaning that not all of us started from the kingdom. We all started from hell. Then by the blood of Jesus, there was now a type of BRT. You see, that kind of conveyed us mass conveyance. And when they conveyed us, by the time we're about entering, Paul now says, I need to write a letter to you guys because you guys are coming from hell. You have to behave yourself because, like, you are not used to this place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you are not used to. Is it because sometimes we forget where we are coming from? And that's why we want to insist. So I need, like, to remind you that you cannot come and create hell here. You see, because that's where you were coming from. And we do not believe what you are saying. The reason why we doubt you is because we know where you came from. So that's why we are doubting the things that you are saying. We need to find out. Because you see, out of those crowd there that we conveyed from hell, some of them have entered partnership with Satan. It's not like they really were transferred. Like, Satan told them to act like they've been delivered. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. So they are like spies. I'm telling you scriptures. You understand? They are not really, really saved like that, but they are like spies. And then they behave calm and gentle. Like, oh, I've been saved. Then they will convey everyone. You see, then after that, the apostle will now say, okay, there's a way you must be. Because this is not your room in hell. This is like a new place. And there's a way you must be. Now, it is in that place, those who are grateful, you see, that they were at least first conveyed, will not insist on their ways. You understand? You see, but those who are not grateful or who are like partners with Satan, You see, we still want to create like a type of annex. You see, like a hell annex. Do you understand? And say, because they love hell so much. You see, but when you insist that no, this is not hell, this is like a new place, then after a while, they will manifest and then they'll remove their white garment. And you'll find out that they still wore black. You see, like they did not throw away the uniform. The real uniform was still there. That's why the apostle was now saying that even though they were with us, but they were not really of us. You see, because if they were of us, they would have. That's what happens when the truth offends you.
Yes.
You see, when the truth makes you disconnect from the church, it's because you are still in love with hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you see, a church that does not insist on truth is also like partnering with hell.
Yes.
Do you understand? Like, we do not retain people and lose truth. Did you get that?
Yes,
like, we will not retain people and lose truth. You see, that's one of the sins. I believe that's like one of the sins of the Lagos church. Personally. You see, I don't have the right to criticize the Lagos church. I'm just giving my own idea in a humble way. That I believe it's one of the sins of the Lagos church. The Lagos church was too much in need of people and did not stay on truth. So you see, we have church people who are not God people.
Yeah.
And then one of the ways you will know those places is that those places, what they will lose when you do that is that you will lose the presence of God. The meaning of, let me tell you what I mean by presence of God. God will not be at home. Like, you know, have you gone to somebody and the person is not at home? Do you understand? I know it's my house, but I'm not at home. Do you understand? You know, there's a way you will be that you have to live. There's a way your house will be that you can't be at. I remember the time many years ago where our house was flooded. You see, we had to leave the house because there's a way the house is that we can't be at home. So some churches, there's a way they are that God can't be at home. You understand? Now, it's still the church of God though. It's still the house of God. But it's just that for now, God is not at home. You see, God is not just what? He's not at home. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's still like, it's still God's house. It's just that whenever we come, you know, are there people that whenever you go and visit them, they are not always at home? Huh? Do you know anybody who is not always at home in church? Like when you visit them? Huh? Who? Balade, she's not always at home. But maybe our home is church. Maybe. For now, though. Are we together here? There are people who are not always at home. You know, even you, there are some of you here that maybe if some of you who are still staying with your parents, you don't like to be at home. Like, you just give reasons not to be at home. I remember one funny testimony one guy was giving where he was thanking God that the strike is called off. He said, "The old comrade, I've been washing plates." The guy said, "I thank God. They have called off the strike. I thank my God." He said, "I does the wash plate. Hey, comrade like me." Are we together here? So you see, the first important thing about a church, you see, it's not the people. That's not the first thing. The first thing is that it is the house of God. Do you know that you'll be a strange person, if you feel at home in a house that the owner of the house is not at home. You know, you're a very strange person. Like maybe you went to see someone and the person is not at home. Like nobody's at home. And then you just enter the fridge. And then you take meat and you start boiling meat, start cooking. And then you...
Praise God.
So it's a strange thing. When I tell you the truth, God is not at home in a lot of his houses. He had to leave because like, it's like there is gas everywhere. And then the thing is suffocating him. And then he has to leave. And one of the signs of a place that God is not at home is that there will not be his voice. Let me say something to you. Let me say, very simple but very real. Do you know that as you are like this, no matter your height, no matter how small you are, do you know that it's only God that can change you? Do you know that? Like, it's only God. Like, no, humans are so powerful that only God can change a human being. I tell you. You know that somebody does what you tell the person to do does not mean the person has changed. The person hasn't changed. By the time the person gets independence, you will now know that the person is still, you see, the same person. I tell you the truth though, only God can change somebody. Regardless of how humble the person looks and how pious, the only person that can change someone is God. And if you are able to talk to somebody and the person is changing, you see, it's not because of you. It's because God, you see, has taken a hold of the person's heart. Like that heart is a godly heart. That's why the person is changing. It's not like you are a powerful person. Like people don't change because another powerful person changed them. You can abuse people. And when they abuse, they behave a certain way. But that's because you spoilt them. It's not like they change. You spoilt the person. It's like you broke something and you made it do what it's not meant to do. But the person didn't change. It's only God that can change someone. So when you have a house that God is not there, you see, there will never be changes in that house. I mean, the people, the members of that church will not what? Huh? Will not change. Because the God that is meant to change them is not there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you know what? Because people have refused to change, can I talk to you?
Yes,
what they have done is they have now started creating laws that accept and accommodate their inability to change. Yeah. That is the meaning of Antichrist. In fact, that is the meaning of the mark of the beast. You see, the mark of the beast is to agree that God, that man is a God. In the book of Revelation, it says the mark of the beast is 666, which is the number of man. So it's like man being a God to himself. Because 3 is the number of God. So 666 talking about God, man is a God. Do you understand? Independent of of the true God. That's the mark of the beast. So you see, when you are somebody who takes pride in not changing, like me, I know they change you. Me, I know they change. You see, you are not being God. You are being an antichrist. It's the spirit of the antichrist. So when you look at the issues of homosexuality and all of that, being enshrined in the law, you see, it is the advancement of the antichrist agenda, where a man will say, so far I feel like this. I don't want to change. I can't change. In fact, this is how I'm meant to be. Let us put it in the law and let us deal with anyone that says otherwise. You see, because man is God. That is to say, there will not be an external moral compass that determines how we live. Like nothing external should determine how we live. We ourselves should determine how we want to live. You see, but when you want to determine how you want to live, you must also mean that you created yourself. That's what you are meaning. I don't know if you are getting some of the things I'm saying this morning. So the church is the house of God. Listen, if there's anything that Satan doesn't want us to understand, is the church. The reason for weakness in Christendom and powerlessness is because we haven't yet grasped a revelation of the church. So there is a way the church must be. Sit down, Toby. There is a way the church must be. You see, the church is not a place we gather. That's not the first thing. The church is a people that are together. It's not first a place. It has to first be a people. So anytime we don't have a people, we don't yet... Listen, this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote it to people. Are you together with me? It's not a place. It's a what? It's a people. But the way we're functioning for now is that a people are going to a place. So yeah, that's my place of worship. Now, that's not yet the church until the people have a sense that we are a people. It's not a location or an organization. Those are not the primary meaning of a church. It is a people, not an organization. Are we together here? You see, I don't know if your house is a location. I mean, your home. I don't know if the most important, if the most important thing about your family, your physical family, is your address. You know, by now, you don't have a family again. Because you guys have changed address severally. But the family remains. And in fact, some people have left home, but the family still remains. Because you are a people. Do you understand? You are, like, some of your siblings are in Canada. But you are still together because you are a people. Am I not correct?
Yes, sir.
You are a people. And sometimes you are forced to do things you don't feel like doing. And forced to go for things you don't feel like going. And forced to buy clothes you don't want to buy. And forced to attend meetings you are not interested in. And you are forced to solve quarrels you don't mind if the quarrel remains. Like this quarrel, it's not really, you are not really desiring to solve it. Some of the quarrel does not even concern you. It might be the second born and the third born that insulted themselves. Then they now put it in WhatsApp group. And what you are personally going through is not in line with what is going on there. But you know, mommy wants the problem solved by all means. And they say, we all must see Sunday afternoon. Amakpadenile. And that Sunday afternoon, you have planned other things. You see, but if you don't go for that meeting, and sometimes you see some messages in the WhatsApp group that you do not reply to because you don't want any wahala. And some of the people in that group are not born again. So they say things that don't make sense to you. But you have to respond. You won't respond fully Christian. You have to still respond between heaven and hell. You will just look for... So that there will not be trouble. Why? Because you are a people. Praise God. So in the same vein, you see, the church is a what? It's a people. I remember the teaching I did some time ago where it says, and the day of Pentecost, when it fully came, one of the signs was that the people were in one accord and began to dissect the word accord. They were fervently together. Glory be to Jesus. So you see, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with what? One accord. You see, that word one accord is their spiritual formation. In one place is their physical location. But right now, the most of the times, we are in one place. We are not in one accord. But you see, what brought the Holy Spirit is that they were in one accord. It's not the place that brought the Spirit. You see, it's in the accord that brought the Spirit. Can I talk here? Yes, so whenever there is one accord, there will always be the Spirit. Yeah, there will always be. Listen, when there is no one accord, you will need an anointed preacher to give us pseudo presence. I wish you were listening to me. You see, because the anointing is not the presence of God. Yeah. The anointing is not the presence of God. The gift of the Spirit is not the presence of God, but it is present in the presence of God. But it can be present where God is not present. You see, when you visit me in my house, I will go to my fridge and give you juice or something there. You see, but even if I'm not at home, there is still juice. But it doesn't mean I'm at home. That you still drank the juice that you drank when I was at home, and you drank it when I was not at home. The juice does not prove my presence. My presence proves my presence. The juice does not prove my presence. But you see, but sometimes, because some people have never drank juice in their life, you see, they can quickly think juice is a person. What do I mean by that? When you don't know God's presence, you will think the anointing is the presence. But when you know the presence of God, you will know the anointing is not the presence. And that's why when the presence of God is with a people, you see, when the presence of God is there, everything that is being done there will have the ability to change someone. Do you understand it? When you put gas in a place, fill gas with a place, you can strike the match in any corner. You will blow up. So when the presence is in a place, worship will be powerful. Announcement will be powerful. Greeting will be powerful. Welcome from the ushers will be powerful. When you go to the toilet, I'm serious. When you go to the toilet, you won't feel cut off. You understand? When you are outside talking, you won't feel bad. Like everything will be powerful. You see, but when the presence is not there, there'll only be one person that has the anointing. When is his own when is his own allotted time, his session. So the people are sleeping till that person stands up. And then they'll say, the moment we have been waiting for, the moment we have been waiting for has now come. You see, so you see, all the while, those moments are not moments we are waiting for. We are just trying to buy time for the moment that we have been waiting for. You see, but when you are in heaven, you see, when you physically go to heaven, every moment is a moment in heaven. Heaven is heaven. You see, there will not be a moment you are waiting for. So you see, the church is meant to be like that, where there will not be what? A moment that you are waiting for. And there will not be a preacher that must preach. Like when anybody stands up to speak, the Lord still speaks to you. You see? Are we together here? That's the presence of the Lord. You see, it's like I'm teaching you how to know God's presence. It's like I'm telling you. So you wouldn't need much drama. The thing just draws you in. You just know God is engaging you. And nobody talks about an issue, but you are just repenting on it. Because everybody, even though you are seated alone, but it's as though you sat on God. Or as you just sat, God just shifted for you. And then as the preacher is preaching, it's as though he's now whispering to you. So you need to go and apologize. As the preacher is preaching, I need to adjust. You are just hearing things. And then you pick up your phone and send an apology letter, an apology message while the preacher is going on. I just want to apologize for how I spoke to you yesterday. You put it back. You see, because beside you, God is the presence of God. And it's like he's just speaking to you. Jonathan, you know, if I was to preach to everybody, you know, I would preach for 85 years. Like in this service now, if I was to be preaching for everyone, but I would preach one message. And all of you will say, it's just like pastor was just talking to me. No, it's not pastor. It's the presence of God. The preaching is just like a vehicle that presence is using, you see, to deal with you and to expose you. And you're like, did they tell pastor? So, pastor last week. I don't know. Did you go and greet him? No. Nobody came to greet me. It's your maker. You see, it's your maker. I don't know if I can talk to you. When that presence is there, you wouldn't need to do. Oh my goodness, friends! I know the secret of prosperity. I know it. I tell you the truth. When this presence is at work, you wouldn't even have to do much. Amen. You wouldn't have to do much.
Praise God. You see, when these praises are what, you wouldn't have to expend too much energy. When you see somebody expending energy too much, you will find out that his car has a fault. You see, cars that make noise from the engine, that noise is not speed. You know all these damn fools can make noise, but they are not running. It's crisis. That noise from the engine is not speed. It's not like it's speeding. You see, it's that it is traumatized. You see, when you carry that, when that presence is at work, you won't have to stress. Anytime you are stressing, it's because you are out of the presence. Anytime. You see, one of the ways to know what God doesn't want you to do is that the thing is stressing you. It's killing you. I'm not talking about hard work. You know, yesterday we went how many hours? About, I don't even know how many hours we went. 10 hours. It felt like 2 hours. Not 10 hours. We just went stretch. I say I had 6 hours message to preach. I say I had 6 hours. And I can continue like that. I will speak like that. I'll keep speaking like that. And you see, because when the presence is there, you don't expend too much energy. How many of you enjoyed Anu's preaching last week Wednesday? She didn't have to be a fantastic. You see, when people want to be fantastic preachers, they don't have the presence. You don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to be a great preacher. See, if I was in the corporate world, and I'm a man of God, and I'm a maybe leader in the church, I'm in the corporate world. If they ask me to preach, that's why I used to wish I was in the corporate world sometimes. If they ask me to preach, I will preach the same way I would have delivered a presentation. That's how you guys in the corporate world should be preaching, Toby and the rest. Preach as though you are delivering. There's nothing different. If you want to do slide, do a slide. Do as if you are in a corporate world, planning that way. You see, because there is no powerful preaching or not, it's the presence. So you need to learn to communicate naturally. There is no way a preacher communicates. Do you understand? That way a preacher communicates is the training of Babylon, which is theater art, is drama. Do you understand? I don't know. For those of you who were trained by your parents, I don't know if your parents spoke in a parental, like is there a parental voice? You understand? It's the same way they speak. Do you understand that? So you don't, if you don't usually speak the way you speak, do you understand? I think the days of drama, we should be over it in the church of God. You just speak. It's religion to try and speak like. Look at how Pastor Obi wrapped up yesterday. It was powerful. And I mean, he was just being himself. You know, when Anu was going to preach, when I was talking to her, I said, have you ever counseled someone before? She said, yes. I said, when you counseled the person, was it powerful? Did the person's life change? Did the person thank you and appreciate your counsel? She said, yes. I said, so all of them that you are going to preach to on Wednesday, they are that one person. So talk to them as if you are talking to one person and you are canceling that one person. Don't enter preacher mode. Do you understand? If the anointing wants to take you to a preacher mode, it will by itself. But don't think you have to say something, because it's not something You see, there is no new thing. You see, that you want to say that has not been said.
even in the Bible where we are picking things from, that Bible is full of repetition. Sometimes you are reading the book of Colossians, you are wondering, is it not Ephesians? Even the word of God, you see, the word of God had to start repeating itself. Like there was like no new revelation, like they had to say the same. So you see, even the word of God you are preaching from is repeating itself. And that's the original script. So you should over-repeat yourself. Do you understand that? But the difference is that there is a presence. Do you understand? I don't know if anybody can ever have an encounter with God and after God visits you, you tell God, I've heard this before. When God visits you, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. If it is God, it will be new. Do you understand? It will be the same thing you have heard though, but you will be sure it's the first time you are hearing it. Are we together here? So you don't have to behave a certain way or just be yourself. Do you understand? Communicate the way you know how to communicate. So what I'm saying in essence is that the presence of God, are we here, friends? Will reduce stress. You will not extend too much. You see, when you see a place where there's too much human noise, the presence is not there. Listen, if I come to church, for example, and I need people to do as though Shango is coming. You see? It's a sign that God is not there. The anointing might be there, but God is not there. There is a peace that God carries. There is a peace. If I have to be telling everybody what kind of person, if I have to maybe speaking roughly to the pastors, I say, what nonsense? I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to curse you. It's because the presence is not there. When the presence is not there, you will find out that you will be there. Like you will really, really be there. Do you understand? It won't be vacuum. It won't be a vacuum or what you call it. You will be there. You see, but when the presence of God is there, you'll be afraid to be there. It's like you'll be looking for how not to be there. But when the presence is not there, you'll be there. So that you don't want the people to know that God is not there. So you have to be there. But you see, when you are there, you have to be there, but you have to be doing like you are, like God is moving you. So you have to put things that look like God is there. But you see, rather, it's not there. It's like it's you and a lot of other yous that you gather together. But really, God is not there. When God is there, you see, when people see God, you see them bowing. Like when God is there, you want to take yourself out. But when you are too involved, it's a sign that God is not there. When you read scripture, whenever God is in a place, you see the people bowing, people will close their eyes and all of that. They don't like want to be seen. But when God is not there, you will like want to be seen. You would want to, because you want the people to feel. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. Like you want the people to think that God is there. Like when a man, for example, does not have the presence of God, he will be there. His wife will always offend him. Like, he will be angry regularly. You see, the reason is because he's there. You don't like this one, Abi? Because you don't like what I'm saying. The message was sweet until I came here. All right, let me leave that one. Let me talk about this. Everything will be offending you. Because you are everywhere. You are there. You will just be getting angry. Do you understand? You will know who did not greet you because you are even in the person's mind, you are there. Do you understand? You are it's like you left yourself and you were even able to like import yourself. Like you carve an, You know, you see people from afar, but you know they are talking about you. It's because you know how they saw you. Like, oh, for you call me. Mom, for you call me. You see, because you are there. You see, because the presence of God is not there. So you have to be aware of everything that is going on. I don't know if I'm speaking here. So the house of God is the what? Is the church of the living God. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. So you see, one of the personal lessons you take out of this teaching, now I'm teaching about the church of God, but personal lesson, is that you need to take out this lesson is that let God be there. Don't be there. Don't be there. Don't put yourself too much. Yeah? Let God be there. When God is there, it will be proven by how you just understand. Now, don't forget, you know, I have about 20 points here. But I haven't given you one. Yeah, I just like lay the foundation for us. So maybe another time we'll look at that. I have like 5 minutes more. So don't forget where we are all coming from, right? Where did we come from? Hell. All of us. The Bible says that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, right?
Yes, sir.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness or the kingdom of darkness and then conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, you see, one of the things I want you to understand that this new kingdom is the... Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. It's the kingdom of the Son of His love. You understand? So meaning that the kingdom, why we have the kingdom, you see, is that the kingdom, why we have it, and why you can be in the kingdom, is that the reason we have the kingdom is because of Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand that? The reason we have a kingdom is because of who? It's because of Jesus. You see, without Jesus, there wouldn't be a kingdom for us. He's our route to the kingdom. He's the door that made us enter into the kingdom. That's Jesus for us. But the reason we have Jesus is because the foundation of kingdom is love. L-O-V-E. Can I talk to you here?
Yes, sir.
You see, and this love we're talking about, are you together with me? It's like the DNA of God. Like if you have anything that can test God, what the result will be is love. Like if we want to check whether you came from God, what we are looking for is what? Is love. That's why John kept emphasizing that if you are not flowing in love, you are not of God. Like love is what makes us of God. So he's saying that this kingdom, the premise of this kingdom is what? Is love. That's why we have a kingdom. Now, hear this, friend. So, if the church is the house of God, or the kingdom of God, it must mean that the primary spirit and the foundation of the church also must be what? Must be love. So in growing a church, like the topic that it, one of the things that must be primary is love. I need to explain it very well for you because it sounds, it's simple, but it's important. So it's not, the primary thing is not service. It's not work. It's love. So when you are talking of a successful ministry, the first premise of judgment must be the workings of love amongst the people. Now the challenge, you see, when you judge success in numbers, it will no longer be the kingdom. It will be Babylon. You see, because Babylon measures in numbers. You see, but the kingdom doesn't first measure in numbers. What does it measure in? In love. It's measured in love. So that's why when you read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, when I was talking about the love, you can see that he spoke about other powerful things. And he said that if you have all these other things and then you do not have love, according to God, what do you have? Nothing. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, it's not saying, do I speak with fake tongues? It's talking about genuine tongues. Are you together with me? Of men and of angels, but have not love. You see, I have become sounding brass. I have become. You see, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Why? Because the very DNA of God is no longer in it. I don't know if I get to what I'm talking about. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all of it. Like, I have perfect prophetic gift and all knowledge. And do I have all faith so that I could remove mountains? You see, so what makes a ministry fake? It's not only because the founder is not genuine. And it's not only because they went to get power from Babalawo. Also, even though the founder or the person is saved, if the premise and the foundation is not love, you see, it says that it is still nothing. Like, so fake pastor is fake, but even original pastor is still producing fake works. Can I talk to you? I don't know if you are listening to me. You know, I think I need to look for where to preach. This 1 hour preaching does not work for me again. I need days. I don't know. I need, I'm not, because I'm just about to start. I will now close. What kind of frustration is that? Is this one? And it's because of this Babylonian church style that we met, that we just come for service. We don't come for fellowship. Because we're all meant to come to fellowship with the Spirit. And the Spirit will minister to us till we know we are done. That's how it's meant to be. Jesus will not come until our fellowship goes back to that order. Because this one that we are doing is our own. Because you are the one determining the time where the preaching must end. It's not the Spirit. And people are afraid that when we do this, how will people work? You don't even understand the kingdom of God. When we do things God's way,
But we engage God's economy. We don't even understand how these things work. Don't worry. There will be a restoration of apostolic Christianity. You think you go and visit Apostle Ababalola and you give Apostle Ababalola time? Sometimes they want to eat. They are there for the whole day, opening prayer to bless food. I say, oh Lord, do it again. What you did for our fathers. And your wristwatch is your best companion when you come to church. You are checking the time. Say, oh Lord, the days of our father, return it. Which we return? You are the... See yesterday's meeting. See where we landed. It looked like we're joking and see how the glory of God. And we have not even touched anything. I'm saying there will be days when we do this in the right way, there will be days where you will be afraid to step your leg out, like fear. Yeah, the glory. You will wait for him to go before you go. Oh, don't worry, you'll hear of it. Can I say something to you? It is because we left this foundation. That is why the fake prophets came in. You see, because the very instrument of discernment was not in our midst. It was not in the original church midst. So they could fake something. Because Paul is saying that if love is not the foundation, right now, even what we call genuine ministry, love is still not the foundation. Gift is the foundation. Gift is the foundation. That's why people have spiritual fathers that don't have them. Yes, now. If I ask some of you your spiritual father, you mention people who don't know your generation. The reason is because you have been trained to follow gifts. Do you understand? And there's a real spiritual father who is loving you, taking care of you. But because that one is not as gifted as you think, that one cannot be.